1240 AM WSBC. Yeah. Welcome back to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour.
Yeah.
This show is presented to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal and Jim McGing, personal injury attorney, Chicago.
Yes,
my name's Patty Houlihan.
Hi.
I'll be your host all hour. Joining me as always to my left is my twin brother, Billy.
What's up?
And to the left of him, the greatest person in the world, Mr. Clayton O'Brien. Clay?
What's been going on?
Welcome. What week of COVID are we in?
12.
Who cares?
I think this was our week 12 version.
It all seemed, that it couldn't get any more chaotic in the world.
Yeah.
And we're in the midst of an interesting time in our country.
It's a tornado of chaos.
And I'll leave it at that.
That's it.
More importantly, I did get a chance to go to Goodwill this week.
Did you get this shirt you're wearing, I have to say. Yeah.
This is my new Goodwill shirt. I took Charlotte, my daughter Charlotte, for our regular listeners, was asking me for new clothes.
Uh-huh.
Is this horrible of me? I go, let's check Goodwill.
New clothes? How about really old clothes?
No. She goes, what? You know, those are old poor kid clothes. No.
They're not.
I go, no. First of all, you have no idea what it means to be poor. Let's get that straight right now.
Exactly.
You know? And she's like, they don't have Hollister or any of these, like, Hollister, you know? Where the Hollister at, you know?
They do have Hollister. I guess it's just from 1992.
Fine.
Sure. Yeah.
Fair play. But I said, Charlotte, style, why do you want to be dressed like all the other kids?
Yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. I go, you got to make your own style.
Exactly.
You know? And she's like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, all those smart fashion designers that grew up, and I know you aspire, you're into that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
First, she wanted to be a piano player, then a dancer, then a fashion designer.
Oh, it's going to change a lot.
Pretty soon, she'll have her own beauty parlor. You know, anyway.
Yeah.
We get to go to Goodwill. I go, come on, we're going. I got to drop some stuff. I want to go. I brought Mikey with me, too. So it was myself and my two kids running around Goodwill for a while.
Did they have masks? Did you have to make them wear masks?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know.
We all had the masks on. And, you know.
That's still going on.
Yeah, that's still happening. Yeah. Masks haven't gone
away
yet.
People are still wearing those, I believe. Yeah.
That's a
must. We walked around. Goodwill is a gold mine right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because all of the stuff that people wanted to give away for like the last 5 months sat there. It hasn't been picked over yet.
Yeah.
Holy gems, you know?
Holy gems, he says.
For me, you know, I was this
shirt
is a
looks
nice
like
one.
A definite Goodwill
Look
pickup.
Look at this. This is beautiful.
That, you know what?
It's Izod.
Can I say something?
Oh, very nice.
go ahead.
I'm jealous.
Right? It's a floral pattern shirt. It's got flamingos on it.
It's got roughly 150 flamingos on
it. Yes. Print is in right now, baby. Print is very in.
That's a nice shirt. It really is.
And I said, I brought it home. I put it on. My wife goes, I love that shirt. I go, it's meant to be.
Yeah.
Because we had spoken about my fictitious Miami resort, Patty Flamingos.
Right. Exactly.
On previous episodes.
So that's
And
the
I thought
Patty
to
Flamingo
myself,
shirt.
This is what I wear. If I was the owner of Patty Flamingos, this would
Which
be.
Which you are.
Actually, this might. Yes. Yes, I am. I am, Clay.
Yeah, I believe you are the owner
if
of
If you
Patty
believe
Flamingos.
You are, then you are.
Right. Yeah. It's my fantasy.
You're also big time investor in buns.
You know you need
yes.
now.
But this is the official. This would be the uniform.
You need white jeans.
I have white jeans. You've seen me wear them.
I have. Put those on immediately.
Yes.
And then possibly some, white rim sunglasses or something.
Ooh, I like it. Yeah. Then I'm real Miami.
And then you could do a fedora, but that's pushing it.
That's pushing it. Yeah. Just a nice tan.
Let
your ball go nuts. Wear the flamenco shirt. Anyway, uh-huh. I brought...
Let your bald spot.
Were your children there when you picked us out?
Yes. But part of my speech is this was to Charlotte.
I don't know. He could have taken numerous trips to the Goodwill.
Did you put the shirt on and then make the speech?
No. No. But I do use the fitting rooms at Goodwill. It's important.
Guilty of that myself.
I'm very proud of you.
Yeah. Anyway, I told Charlotte on my way there, I'm like, listen, they got good stuff here. And they did because it hasn't been picked over.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, getting back to like all the fashion icons and people that have made a name for themselves in fashion.
Yeah.
Right.
They didn't become who they were by following trends.
Like who?
They made them. Like who?
Yeah.
Oh, Yves Saint Laurent. You know? Ola Cassini.
Neiman Marcus.
Sure. Sears.
Jim Sears.
Jimmy Sears.
Yeah.
Anyway, she understood what I was getting at.
Yeah, of course.
She's like, all right, I get it. I'm like, come on, just go. See what you like. Try it on. Get crazy.
Yeah.
Of course. All of a sudden, at the end, she had a cart.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Uh-huh. It's great.
The card is like, Mikey's throwing, he's there. He's throwing Nerf guns in there.
Yeah.
He's piling, I go, this is junk that I just gave here.
You know? Right.
We're not leaving with more plastic broken toys.
Yeah, full
Certainly
circle.
Not. Yep. You know? Right. But we did get a couple masks and stuff like that. Goofy, like, play masks. Mikey was into that.
Yeah.
I'm like, COVID, nah.
Yeah.
I gotta boil this thing, you know, for the kid to play with it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Charlotte, at the end, we're checking out. She's got halter tops and, like, Daisy Dukes.
Oh, no.
What?
She had a pair of, she's got a pair of neon silver go-go boots. Just
oh, very JoJo Siwa.
A little bit Siwa, yeah. But I was like, look at this. You know, it worried me because she started to resemble a little bit more of like a Jodie Foster from Taxi Driver.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was like,
or Madonna.
Or, yeah,
don't be dressed like Madonna.
My daughter's 10. She's dressing like Madonna. What do I do?
That would sound like... That's Chicago in like 1990.
Exactly.
1987. My daughter's dressed like Madonna. It's driving me nuts.
Right. But anyway, I let her pick it out and buy it. And anyway, my wife approved of some of the stuff.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's Charlotte's at that age now where she kind of wants to be yourself and do your thing, you know?
Yeah.
And there's no more important place than Goodwill to go find out that first.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Gotta see how good.
You also need a diamond stud earring to complete your outfit.
My outfit right now?
Yeah.
With the print shirt? I gotta get a tan.
With the white jeans? Nah, leave yourself pale. It's nice.
Pale with the white jeans? So so I'm whiter than the white jeans?
I'm whiter than the white jeans.
Look at you. You're whiter than white jeans.
You're whiter than those white jeans you're wearing.
Knucklehead.
Never seen that before.
You mean you came out to the rally with those white jeans on?
I like your diamond.
I was at Goodwill myself this week.
What'd you get?
But I was doing a drop-off.
Oh, yeah.
And Maddox was with me. This was actually yesterday.
Billy dropped off the clothes, and then Patty bought
them. He's like, I've never been in one of these places before. And I was like, well, let's check it out,
my friend. Oh, yeah.
We walked around. He was like, well, not all of it is used. And I'm like, no. I'm glad that you're noticing that.
New experiences.
And then he found himself kind of picking through a little
bit. Yes.
And,
tickling the rack.
We tickled him a little bit.
Tickling the rack for a quarter of the price of what it cost you if you went to Kohl's or something.
That should be the commercial.
Right. Yeah. I'm the guy in the Goodwill commercial. Come by Goodwill. Tickle the rack.
Sitting in a rowboat with your flamingo shirt on.
Yeah. Look, see this? $5. Tickle the rack. Goodwill.
Sounds like a great commercial.
You and a panda bear in a rowboat.
Me and a panda bear in a rowboat with this shirt on. I'm telling the panda what I got at Goodwill.
And you go, tickle the rack.
I go, $5, panda. Goodwill. Tickle the rack.
And the panda goes,
yeah, she does.
Then all the locations of Goodwill just come up on the screen afterwards.
They jump out of the water.
Yeah, I was there, but I didn't hang out long. But you're right, there was looked like there could have been some gems in there.
Oh.
I know which one
Do
you
they sell
to.
Jewelry there?
They got it in like
a case.
Anything at Goodwill that's like over $12 is in a case.
I got a toaster at Goodwill. It lasted me for 10 years.
I almost bought a vacuum cleaner today.
Is it in the box? I think we still had the toaster. I think Cooley's got it at 8:10 below. I think he's still kicking strong.
In the box? I probably used it.
No, I mean Ames were living together at the time, and we
did
it
have crumbs in it when you took it home?
No, it was nice and cleaned out.
That was nice, huh?
Our toast kept getting burnt in the morning, and I said, I think I got an idea. We went over to the Goodwill together, bought it, and plugged that baby in, and I'll tell you what, our white bread never looked so better.
You got good use out of it. What brand was it?
Another testimonial for Goodwill. I got this toaster, my white bread never looked better.
I got a 10-year toaster from this joint.
Tickle the rack.
That's one of my Goodwill stories.
Yeah, you guys had a wild weekend over there.
I've been to Goodwill a few times. It's been, well, because COVID, you know, they finally started opening the retail stores again a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
For a minute.
They let you tickle.
Yeah. And as soon as Goodwill opened, I was like, oh, we're going. And I had all those garbage bags that I talked about a few episodes ago, like all that stuff that I had decluttered the house with. I was made a few trips over to Goodwill.
Yeah.
But I can't help myself. I got to go in and see what's in there.
Sure.
You know? And when I went in,
it was like Wonka Factory.
It was. I was like, oh, my God. This is nice. I'm buying it.
Patty dance spinning in his flamingo shirt.
Absolutely. Mike, you bring up a great point. I have not been to the Salvation Army.
Oh, you should.
I should go check that out.
That used to be our spot, the one up on Roosevelt Road.
Oh, yeah.
We used to hit that up for some nice vintage T-shirts every now and then.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of vintage T-shirts, and we talk about eBay a lot.
I got one on.
You have a Chicago Sting shirt on.
Yes, I do.
But I have a story that I want to tell after the break. All right.
Okay.
And more importantly, one thing I do know is that one thing you might be able to get at Goodwill, if you're lucky, is some brand new boxed McCann's Irish oatmeal.
Yes.
If you're really lucky.
You're gonna find it next to the cologne.
You seek that out wherever it is. You'll find it.
But they got crock pots you can make the oatmeal in.
There you go. They probably got a regular pan that's
Who makes oatmeal in a crock pot?
But they got crock pots you put oatmeal they
probably
in.
Got I don't know.
They probably got a soup pan. A soup pan for sale.
Yeah, they do. They sure do.
Go buy a $2 soup pan, go home, make some McCann's, enjoy yourself.
Change the world.
The show is presented to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. More Hoolies Hoolie after these.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehy's took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Hi, I'm Patty Houlihan, and I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has changed and saved lives of millions. It has been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There's no more Irish thing you can do.
If you're looking for an office in the loop, you gotta check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did. If you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former supervising judge James McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits.
Jim represents first responders, and he formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He was an assistant state's attorney, and he was legal counsel to the Cook County Sheriff. As a judge, he presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm, 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. You can get a hold of Jim at 773-467-8000. That's 773-467-8000. Give him a call. He's an old pal.
The wrong week, quit sniffing glue.
That's right.
Welcome back, Hoolies Hoolie. Second quarter. Yeah. Before the break, if you weren't with us, I spoke a little bit about my trip to Goodwill this week. My amazing trip.
Yeah.
We were bringing up, vintage t-shirts right before the break.
Yes.
And Clay, you have a Chicago Sting.
Yeah, my brother, my older brother, he used to have a Chicago Sting pennant in his bedroom when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I saw this, and I thought, that reminds me of that.
Now, was that enough? See, before online existed, you'd have to go to Goodwill to find something like that.
If you're lucky, you'd find this.
Yeah. And what brings it up is that I had a vintage T-shirt, a couple of them, right?
Yeah.
We're talking vintage T-shirts now.
What are we talking?
Yeah. Vintage T-shirts. While I was going through the sort of declutter of COVID, right?
Right.
I came across, and I spoke of them before, my mother-in-law's boyfriend, Joe Kowalski. Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, right.
Shout out to Joe the Pole.
Yes.
Joe gave me these Grateful Dead T-shirts.
You mentioned these.
Like 4 or 5 years ago. He was like, hey, Patty, take these. I don't wear them anymore. You know?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. And they're kind of Ed Hardy floor. They're very,
they're beautiful.
They're much louder than my Patty Flamenco shirt.
Yeah, right.
All right. there's a lot of style, and they're a unique print. And, you know, I think one of them is a Bertha, whatever they call
it. Yeah, right.
One of them, I think, is a
Bertha. Bertha, don't you come around here.
But it's like it's a Bertha skull or whatever.
You might have to play that.
Anyway. I'm looking at the shirt and I go, oh yeah, I forgot about these. And I try them on, you know, right. And my wife's like, you know what's crazy? Like that kind of print is kind of like in style right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to grow your hair long.
Yeah, I'm bald, like most deadheads, you know?
They all once had flowing locks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now they just got aging groove dog strands, mm-hmm. You know?
Glassy eyes.
Right. I'm looking at the shirt, and I'm like, wait a second.
Excuse me. Agent Groove Dog Strands with Glassy Eyes sounds like the beginning of a really nice song.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
It does, Bill. Thank you. It's a wonderful lyric.
Yeah.
Aging Groove Dog. What is it? Aging Groove. Now you took my whole story. You hijacked the whole story, Bill.
Go ahead. Keep going, Vintage Boy.
Yeah. I'm looking at the shirt. I go, oh, yeah. And because of the eBay thing that we've been doing with my daughter, Charlotte, and I'm like, I wonder what these are going for. I looked it up. $800 a shirt. All right.
Oh boy.
And I'm like, this can't be, right?
So what are you gonna do?
But then I go into the eBay portion of like recently sold, right? And I see a copy of one of the shirts that I own that recently sold in like April, all right, for $700. And it was thank you, Mike. And it was in much worse condition. All right.
Wow. And these are originals that you
got? Yeah, it says GD. It says on the shirt, it has to say like a little hashtag and it says official GDM, Grateful Dead merch, right?
Right.
So they know that it was licensed by the Dead and put out there, and they only put out a certain amount of shirts for every show. So there's a whole business of Deadheads that sell old T-shirts, and they sell
them to— You're one of those people?
Well, they're going to, like, Bill Walton would buy, like, 20 of those for $1,000 a piece.
Yeah,
you know, he'd be like, I've got to have it, you know?
Yep.
I bought $1 million.
Hello, Patty, Bill Walton here, Patty.
Is this Patty Flamingo?
Yeah, Patty Flamingo, Bill Walton. I saw your listing.
He doesn't think it's weird at all that your name is Patty Flamingo.
No. Not at all.
Patty Flamingo, Bill Walton.
Hello?
Patty Flamingo, Bill Walton, how are you? I saw your listing on eBay.
The Bertha shirt.
Are there any pit stains in the shirt? Rips in the collar? Ring around the collar?
6XL by any chance?
Yeah, exactly. But that was one of, now I'm like, yes, do I sell it or do I keep it? I'm at like this weird crossroads. I'm like, because I got two of them. I'm like, two of them? That's 1,700, you know, 14.
It's who knows? You don't know what it is.
I don't want to
take... At the very least, at the bottom end, it's $400.
A piece.
Total.
Yeah, total for both of them.
If you hit just a bad, you get a bad
auction.
That's
how you list it.
Right.
You start
but that's $400. That's like fine in $400.
But
you know?
Do you stab your friend in the back?
That's what I was thinking about as well. I was like, if Joe the Pole knew that these shirts were worth like $800 or $900,
you gotta cut him in on the action.
I gotta have to go, Joe. Hey, listen, remember those shirts? They weren't my style, but I got us some dough. You know,
$1,700.
Right.
I wanna go to Goodwill with me. I can buy half the store.
Yeah. I think that's a smart idea. If you're going to sell them, I mean, they were gifted to you, but if you want, you feel like you want to sell
them,
you should cut Joe in on it.
Sell one, keep one.
Yeah, maybe.
Take the $300.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, Clay. I did, but then I started reading about vintage t-shirts, you know, and I was like, apparently if they're brand new, never been worn, they're not very desirable, all right? Because apparently these rich, like, deadhead millionaires, they want a little bit of patina on the shirt, but they don't want it beat to hell. Right, which is like right in the ballpark of what I got here. All right, I was like, whoa, you know, no rips, tears, little patina, maybe 20-30 washes.
Patina, I've never heard this term before.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like you're talking about a 39.
Your shirt is worth nothing. There's no patina on it.
Yeah,
print shirt.
There's no sweat stains on this shirt.
No, it's not sweat stains. It's got to look washed a little bit.
Yeah,
okay.
But patina. I can't. You can't. I've talked about this before on the show. I can't wear a shirt of a concert that I've never been at.
Right, and I like the Dead, but I'm not a huge Dead fan. I would like a Dead fan to have this. You know, they would enjoy it much more. It's sitting in my drawer at home.
Then
you know?
Do it.
I'm not getting any enjoyment out of it other than hoarding it and saying, it could be worth this, you know?
Do it. You got a good reputation out there.
Right, you know? Kids, we could have had that house in Winnetka, but I had to have the Dead shirt. I couldn't let go of it. It's too important to me.
I don't know if an $800 Dead shirt would make or break a guy buying a house of Winnetka, but, you know.
Could start. Your start.
I was blasting a lot of Dead where I was this weekend.
Where?
I went camping.
You did? Yeah, my wife said she saw something on Instagram. She's like, I think Clay's out of state or something.
Yeah, I got called late on Thursday night, or like Wednesday night, by our friend Sean Tulin.
Sure.
Who said he was going camping with his family.
Okay.
He has twins who are like four.
Yeah.
And, he asked me if I wanted to join him because his birthday was last week, mine's this week. Nice. Week,
so did you bring the boys with you too?
Brought my whole family.
You did?
Yeah. We drove down to Monticello, Indiana, pronounced Monticello if you're a local.
Yeah.
And we rented a cabin, a little log cabin.
Fun.
And had like roasted marshmallows and all that. And
all right.
Baseball catch and basketball. And
yes.
It was pretty cool, actually. I loved it. It was great, especially with all everything that's going on here.
Right.
It was like stepping back in time 50 years.
Did you get out on the water at all? Were you near water or was it just...
They had like a kind of like a kids water park type of thing.
Okay.
That we went in, but not a whole bunch.
How did the kids...
We were only there one night.
Did they like it? Did they enjoy the day?
Yeah, they loved it.
Cool.
It was a little cold. It wasn't like ideal weather, but we made the best of it.
Was it cold inside the cabin?
No, it was quite cozy.
Nice.
Yes.
Clay, when we came up to the show tonight, it smelled
it
outside
did.
The studio.
Yes.
Right. I'm like, ugh. Like this pungent aroma hits me.
This cabin I stayed in smelled.
This pungent aroma that's cutting through the smoke of my menthol.
It you really know? Is, though.
That's when you know it stinks.
Yeah.
Like, something stinks around here.
Right.
And I look to myself, and there's a car parked, a pickup truck parked directly in front of the studio. And it says this on it, do care, D-O-O-C-A-R, I got to cancel it, care, okay? Do care. Uh-huh. And there's a picture of a dog, and this looks like a business of a guy who cleans up dog poop for a living, right? He's got a whole,
that way.
And apparently this pickup truck is packed to the brim with dog nuggets.
Oh.
All right? And... This guy's not going to draw any good reviews, you know, anywhere with that kind of, you know, parking his truck. I get it. Everyone goes, what smells? And then they look and they go, do care. Oh, yeah. I can't tell if it's good advertising or bad advertising.
I don't understand what it is.
Certainly gets your attention. You start to smell something and you look around and then that's the first thing you look at. And you go,
well,
oh.
Maybe he doesn't normally take it out in public. Maybe now that COVID's going on, he figures everyone's got a mask on. He can get a little little exposure.
Time to take out the Ferrari, huh?
Right,
the turd Ferrari.
The turdigini.
Yeah.
The
turdigini.
Jimmy, when you're done eating breakfast, meet me out in the garage, fire up the turdigini. We're going to work.
Yeah.
But a moose just took a dump over here, and we gotta go grab it.
I can't imagine, like, I want to know how this business works.
Right.
You're like, I didn't know there was such a business where you can, it's like a house or a maid. The guy just comes and cleans the dog poop off your residence like once a week. So what kind of repulses me is that people just let their dog go for a week and then this guy comes over. It's bizarre, you know? I don't know. I'm thinking about applying.
Thinking about applying?
Yeah, why not? Could be my next gig, you know? Quiet, kids. I don't want to hear any more gripes about Hollister being poor. This is the house that dog poop built. You understand? You're too good for dog poop? You better humble yourself.
No more Hollister for anybody.
Right.
I got Chicago Sting shirts for everyone.
Yeah.
So there's that going on.
Okay. Yeah.
What's new in your world? You've been kind of staring at
golf.
Me. Golf.
Are you hitting out golf, there? Are you hitting the links?
Yeah, I was out on the driving range twice this week already. How's played the, two how's rounds the, over the weekend.
How's the drive looking?
It's getting there. It's straightening out. No,
285 probably, car. No, 270, 265, no, probably, 250.
Like, if I get a hold of one, it's like what, maybe 220? 240. I don't hit the ball that hard.
Hey, that's nothing to sneeze at, Guillaume.
But yeah, no, I had a really terrible round on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And it's weird, and I never really thought about it until actually it happened to me, because I've just been, for years, I've always been so really crappy at golf where I've actually gotten better. So now it's like when I go play around, like, you get into a whole mental, like, you know, you don't want your chai messed up with while you're getting there, getting ready on the course.
Mm-hmm, your chai.
We had a little bit of a discrepancy. I had a friend of mine called me the night before who, our tee time was, me and him were going to play together. And then it's like, hey, a couple more guys from work want to jump in.
Talking tee
time. And I'm like, there's only, when you go on the website, you could only book two at a time. You could book four, but people were all booking in two. So if those two people booked the same team tee times, all four of them had to golf together. You see what I'm saying? It's like you're golfing with two other people you didn't know.
Yeah, that's not, so, I hate that.
Anyways, I was like, all right, well, we'll cancel the one tee time, and then we'll book two tee times right next to each other, and maybe we can ask the people that are behind us, be like, hey, can these guys play with us? You know, do you care? It's the other two guys, you know, like, can we switch it up? It's not that big of a deal. We didn't think it would be. Apparently it was.
Oh!
So, like, the head ranger and the guy that runs the course was a bit upset.
With you guys?
Not with me, but apparently one of my buddies asked, he got to the course before me and was like, hey, can you think you guys can accommodate this? And he was being cool about it at first. He was like, all right, I don't think we're going to be able to do it, but, you know, you guys can ask the other golfers when they get there. And he was kind of being about it, wasn't totally on board. And then another one of the guys from our party showed up, and he was like talking to our buddy from work. He's like, I'm going to go talk to him. And I was like,
oh, yeah. So I'm in sales. I know how to do this.
The second guy goes up to him, and then the guy just gets mad, and he comes out, and he's like, you know, he's like, you guys are up on the tee. You know, like, we're okay. He's like, I'd really appreciate it if you guys wouldn't golf this course again. And we're like, what? You're like, you're trying to ban us from the course right now? He's like, no, I just would really appreciate if you guys didn't come back for a while. This is really, this isn't cool how you guys tried to manipulate the system the way that you booked today. And I was like, what? But part of me also then I was like fired up at the moment after that happened. And part of me towards like the middle of like the round, because we were going to play another.
Hashtag golf guy problems.
we were going to play again, like, because it's only a 9-hole course. We were going to do it again, and we had staggered the tee times again. And then we were like, no, we can't finish 9 after what this guy did and just try to go back out for another 9. He's going to lose his mind.
Oh, yeah. There's no way.
We canceled those, but.
One more crisis to deal with out there.
Well, no.
Yeah, just another crisis. The guy, Bill's tee times are messed
the
up.
The guy yells at, like,
I can't take much more of this.
Before you get on a tee, though, somebody says that to you and you're with people, you're like, and you're thinking about it. And, like, it's not the mindset I wanted to be in before I just teed off.
Oh, he ruined your game.
Billy, he made
all
you
all three
look.
Of us played, like, garbage.
You got in your heads.
The right? One guy that we were with us, an 8 handicap, he played, like, he golfed like he was like me. He was that bad.
Right.
He got in your heads. He's laughing right now.
And then I got out there on Sunday morning with a different group of guys, shot the best game I've had in maybe 2 years.
Just go to Fresh Meadows. Whatever. No problem. You know? Just go to Arby's afterwards. You're fine.
Yeah. But, no, yeah, I've been doing the golf thing, enjoying it. Yeah.
How often
it
are you?
Like you're enjoying it.
Yeah, you're
this is like on a Friday.
This is like the summer of Bill.
Sounds like work.
He's like, COVID, no work. Play golf every day.
COVID riots? Let me get it on the course.
Do you guys wear the mask? What am I supposed to do?
Are you wearing the mask on the course? No. Do they make you wear the mask?
Like, so the rules are...
It's wearing a welder's mask.
Technically, yeah. If you're going to play in a foursome, you can ride in pairs and carts if the other person in the cart is a relative.
Pairs and carts.
All right. And then there are no, like as far as, the, like, when the holes are... Like, there's styrofoam that, like, prevents the ball
we
from going deep into the hole.
We haven't already talked about the hole.
Yeah, we have.
No ball washers. None of that.
No ball washers.
No ball washers.
No.
Get your dirty balls out of here.
But it's still fun. It's still a blast.
Yeah, not washing those today.
And, I mean, there's not a lot to do. So if you can go out and have a couple beers on a golf course, it's heaven.
What if you can't?
Right now.
Most people can't. Some of our listeners are probably wondering.
Sorry.
Improvise.
I shouldn't say that.
I'll improvise. I'll mix Coke and Sprite.
No, it's absolutely it's a privilege that I get to go do this. Yes, so I'm not going to sit here and say
Have a couple beers for me next time, will you?
I will.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Have 17.
I might do that. I want to do on Saturday.
I want to watch
it. What I'm amused by this whole situation is
Billy, it's real quick. If we go golfing together, I'm pounding beers down your throat.
Oh, so we could play on an equal playing field, do you?
Yeah, I'm just going to make you do stunts.
I do.
Yeah.
I do enjoy this, though, the mindset of, like, you're working your whole life. You know, you're like, someday I'd like to be the guy who's able to go out and play golf. You know?
Yeah, it's very peaceful.
And do that every day.
Yeah.
And the world starts to collapse around Bill.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, I guess I could play golf now.
Yeah.
My turn.
You know what?
Now I get to get good at golf.
That's ingenious because you're on... Golf courses are some of the most peaceful places to be around. So you're getting serenity.
It is. And it's a great way to... I don't know, if you're going to go out with some of your buddies from work to get to know them a little bit better. And if you could talk a little chop, too, if you want to.
Sure.
But
if you want to get really frustrated, go to Whitaker Woods. I heard it's very hard. My cousin's golf course.
I don't deny that. Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Take a ride. That's good to get out of town.
Drive up to Indiana and play 18. Yeah. Not a bad idea. I might do that.
Beautiful course.
I bought a pitching wedge yesterday.
Oh!
What is it? Is it
got out of gold? Got to the driving range, and I was pinpointing
my
pitches.
It's like a drug. I guess golf is like a drug.
I bought this gold-plated pitching wedge the other day.
It is. It's addictive. Once you start playing kind of well, then you're like, all right, it's possible.
Did you buy this after the confrontational round? Or before?
After the confrontational round. I bought this new set of clubs probably like a month ago, and I couldn't find the pitching wedge.
Couldn't find
it.
The P?
And I was like, where's that pitching wedge? And I'm like, did I lose that club already?
Where is the P?
And I may have or may not, it just didn't come with one. Sometimes a set will just come with a sand wedge and no pitch. But
Bill, can I ask you a question real quick?
I bought this thing. Unbelievable, hitting the ball.
You didn't happen to see our president on the course at all, did you?
No, I did not see 45.
Okay. Just wondering. Because I could see you running into him. Huge day for golf, right? Beautiful out.
You think you could beat him in golf?
Serenity.
I don't know. I don't know what Donald shoots.
He's kicking in the ball with his foot.
Oh, we know that.
Oh, yeah.
So we're playing on the same playing field. Lots of mulligans.
Did I say six? I meant four.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That six looks awfully nice, but a four looks better.
I play with a group of guys on Sunday, and it's a blast, and they're all probably about 15 to 20 years my senior.
See, I don't like playing with guys who are too good, because I just feel like I'm holding everybody up, you know, and it's like...
There's probably like...
over here grabbing my ball three holes over.
We had two foursomes on Sunday, and I played with... There were like two, like one other guy my age, and then another guy in his early 40s. Mid-40s, and then everybody else was like 60 and above.
Ooh.
But
huge, awesome.
Those guys are fun to play with. Club. Nobody crushes the ball, so when you're playing with them, you feel pretty good about
yourself.
Senior
executives, I like to call them.
Yeah.
That's right. But
anybody over 60 like, playing golf,
people,
senior
somebody
executive.
Will get like a nine. Like they'll all shoot like seven, eights, or nines on every hole. And the guy will be like, the guy that shoots a seven, he gives himself a five. The guy that shoots a nine gives himself a seven, you know? So, like, at the end of the round, you're like, all right, looks like you shot a 50. You really shot, like, a 68, you know? Like, come on.
No, it's like you shot a 70, but you shot a 99.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't go under 100. I don't think I've ever shot under 100 in my whole life.
Nor do I want to. Now, but have you guys encountered, I'll touch on it a little bit, any of the looting near you at all? I mean, we can't have the show without addressing the reality of what is going on.
Yeah,
in the
country. So near me, there was a lot of preparation in anticipation of looting, but nothing really materialized.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy broke a bunch of windows in a school a few blocks away from me, but that was a kind of like a unrelated incident almost.
Right.
Saw an opportunity and he took it to break 82 windows.
Most of this is crimes of opportunity. In many
as far
ways.
As...
It's a sad situation for the people that are working so hard to get their voices heard. And
as far as stores and stuff, I don't think anything really got hit near me, thank God. But in my house, it was like police scanners going on.
Well, there's been lots of that. There's people are scared. There's fear going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We had a pandemic, and now we're on the verge of a very, lots of civil disobedience going on, and people are flipping out, and I think, and they have they have every right to do so.
But people are panicking. It's one of those situations, too, where the internet can be
dangerous
very
thing.
Dangerous.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, there was a post on a page that my wife follows that was like, basically, like, the protesters are coming to burn down the neighborhood. And they found out that it was posted by a white supremacist group.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, they had to take it down right away.
Fear-mongering, yeah.
Yeah, it was scary because people were reacting to it already. And it's like, take a step back for a minute.
Absolutely. I attended Bar for the first time. They did open the restaurants back up earlier this week. And I was at O'Sullivan's, right?
Mm-hmm. Outside only?
Yeah, it's outside. It's this. The beer garden is open. And then
you got to open the door with your butt a lot.
Yeah.
With the drinks.
Yeah. And then the front patio, right? You can have seating outside, but nobody can really come inside and sit at the bar per se.
Right.
We do sell alcohol though, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's extended by the governor for I think till the end of the year.
So everyone can drink right on the street.
Well, people can come in and buy like a quart of beer, you know.
Oh, okay. And leave. Oh.
But
one quart of beer, please.
We were only open a day before the rioting began, and so we had to close, and things are under curfew, and you're hearing choppers in the sky. You know? I've never had this sort of level of police state going down where I'm like, holy smokes, you know, like, this is real, and you don't realize how close it is to you, right? Until it kind of comes in a wave, right?
Yep.
But we had to close the restaurant last night, but I did the new norm of working in the restaurant. Is, you know, nerve-wracking. I was exhausted after I worked a 9-hour shift.
Mm-hmm.
And we called off the other bartender who was going to come in for the night shift because we had a curfew in Forest Park until 6 p.m.
Because you're tense, right. Man.
Well, people were tense, but people ate outside. And for a lot of people, it was their first time out, you know? And they're like, I'm going out anyway.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of anxiety in the air, you know? But people were still out and eating.
There's a lot of anxiety in my house.
But working in the service industry, coming back, you have to wear the mask all the time. You're sweating.
You forget about all that.
Well, you do, but you don't. But everything, you know, now we have QR codes embedded onto the tables. There's no menus. You have to take a picture with your smartphone. We wear gloves. Yes, Mike. We do wear gloves in some instances. The food runners all wear the gloves. If we don't touch food. We don't touch. You can't have condiment trays. We have to wipe down all the tables.
Yeah, yeah.
Every minute and wash your hands, and you have to be very visible about it. And so while you're doing that, the restaurant is also getting bombarded with Grubhub calls, right?
Yeah.
So
it's a mess.
Well, I'm working behind the bar. I'm half phone jockey, half server, you know, and bartender and service.
So they
bartender.
Can order the order.
So I was
the,
like, man, I'm working my ass. You know, like it was tiring.
They can order bar drinks over Grubhub too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got to fill all those.
Absolutely.
Yowzers.
But when I was done with the shift, Mike, do we have Peace Frog by the doors?
Was your bow tie spinning like crazy?
No, dude, my bow tie was like
a
pinwheel.
Sparks coming out of it.
It did, yeah. For those of our listeners who don't know,
200, 300 miles an hour, it was going.
When you get into a groove behind the bar, we call it getting your bow tie spun.
Your bow tie spin if you're having a good night.
Right, you know.
No matter what you're doing.
Last night, house was packed, got my bow tie spun.
Got my bow tie spun. Yeah. The way you say it is so, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
My bow tie was spinning. I like that better.
Right. That's what they say over the CB radios. It's not tied in. The bow ties are spinning.
People everywhere, there's bow ties spinning like crazy. Right.
Can you get over here at Natural Side Mall? Spinning bow ties over here. Anyway, when I got done with work, my wife was at her at my mother-in-law's house about five blocks away. And I was going to, I'm going to walk down Madison Street. You know, I want to see what the environment looks like.
Like Mad Max.
Well, it was peace. No, but you could hear the choppers going like, you know, and the liquor stores being boarded up. And for some odd reason, I had my headphones in and this song came on. And it was a... I felt like it was fate and part of the moment. So I do want to share it with our audience.
Go for it.
It's Peace for All by the Doors.
Dead blood in the streets, it's up to my ankles. Sheep blood in the streets, it's up to my knee. Sheep blood in the street, the town of Chicago.
All the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
If you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former supervising judge James McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits. Jim represents first responders, and he formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He was an assistant state's attorney, and he was legal counsel to the Cook County Sheriff. As a judge, he presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm. 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. You can get a hold of Jim at 773-467-8000. That's 773-467-8000. Give him a call. He's an old pal.
There's only one Irish pub in the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spent a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian radio show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
That's right.
Welcome back. Fourth quarter of the show.
Yep.
Hooley's Hooley. It's been a fun episode thus far.
Right.
I always, no,
the flamingos
just,
are flying free tonight.
Yes, the bow ties are spinning, the flamingos are flying. Civil unrest in the country, pandemics.
Whatever. Sure.
It's, you know, it's hard what to make of it for, my kids are starting to realize that it's going to be a tough summer.
You know what it's going to be?
Hmm.
A cruel summer.
Yes. Ooh, we got Bananarama, Mike? I love that song.
As do I.
It's in Karate Kid.
It's
when LaRusso gets his butt kicked on the beach.
It's when he's just figuring it out.
Is it?
That's like a...
Where he's figuring things out. But he's been bullied for years.
Checking out the new neighborhood.
Just figuring out that I'm being bullied.
You know the song in Karate Kid where LaRusso is just kind of figuring things out? What's that called?
Hey, is this WCKG?
Right. Yeah. Hey, CKG.
You getting doing business?
Listen, I'm sorry to bother you. I've been on the phone for 20 minutes. The song's been in my head all day. The song with LaRusso and Karate Kid is figuring things out. It's a montage scene. You know
this
what it is?
This is not WCKG.
Oh, what's this? 7-Eleven?
Goodbye.
Oops, my bad. Yeah. What a cruel summer.
We'll
play it.
That's kind of, I've been expressing that to my kids.
Have you?
They're starting to come around. They're like, wait, no pool? Like, wait.
Have you attempted to explain this current situation to them?
They absolutely understand what's going on. Mikey, maybe not so much, but Charlotte absolutely is aware of it. And it's made her anxious, truly.
Yeah.
You know, I still let her go outside and play with the kids. You know, I'm not going to deter her and, you know, put her inside a prison of our house.
No.
You know?
Uh-uh.
So it's nice when the other kids come out to play. And I was explaining to Charlotte, I was like, I remember the summers where we didn't always go on vacation, right? Like, we weren't always, you know, and most kids don't, you know, only an upper echelon of children in this country get to go on vacation, you mm-hmm. know? It just so happens that I live in a community that's very upscale, all right, where everybody's wealthy enough to go to Florida and
all these. Wear flamingo shirts.
Yes, you know.
Dedicated the world.
So, what's that say? How about what, Mike?
Summer homes, of course.
Summer, yeah, they have summer homes, you know, and they're going to go and exile to those places. Where are we going to go? We're stuck, you know, and we have no pool, and a lot of the fields are still closed down, and it's like, what do we do? Yeah. And it's just the kids in the alley now, you know?
Yep.
But some of the most idyllic summers I remember growing up were spent in the alley in Elmwood Park.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's where I had my first fights, You know, like, it's where, you know.
You fell in love.
I had my first kiss, you know.
You grew your first tail.
I grew my first tail. I got lines in the side of my head. I really adopted the scene.
Yeah.
You know?
You got your first pair of LA gears.
I started swearing.
You figured things out.
Where LaRusso's figuring things out, I figured things out. In the alley.
In Bum's Alley.
Bum's Alley.
That's right.
Bum's Alley. I'm sure there are gentlemen from Elmwood Park that know all about Bum's Alley.
You lit your first fireworks.
Right. Hey, mate. Yeah, exactly. Well, we have fireworks all year now, kids. We just want to walk.
You sound like a guy in Indiana I ran into.
Yeah, wait. We got fireworks all week now. All year, all week.
You like camping? Me too. I got fireworks in my trunk. You want some?
Well, firework sales are up, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Gun sales are through the roof right now.
They can't make guns fast enough.
Yeah. Which is nuts.
Yeah.
But it is going to be... So I was explaining that to Charlotte. I'm trying to... And now the thing is, like, I'm going to my wife. I'm like, who's got pools? You know, like, who do we have to buddy up with this summer? You know, like, all right, you know, I'll buy you groceries for a couple of weeks. You let me hang out at that pool, you know? Because I remember when I was a kid, I did get to go to upstate New York every year to visit my grandmother.
Yep.
And one of the things that was great was all my aunts and uncles lived in town, right? Mm-hmm. And they all had pools.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a real wealthy community. It was upstate New York. It was kind of a small little factory town.
Aquatic community.
But people had pools because there's not much to do. You know, let's build a pool.
Right.
Let's build a pool. It's freezing here in upstate New York.
But... pools are going to be a hot commodity this summer. That's, you know.
Get in on it.
I'm trying to figure out.
You'll weasel your way into someone's
water.
Any of
my listeners out there, you got a pool you want to let me use for a couple of days? You give me a ring. I'll wear my flamenco shirt.
Wear a full, like a wetsuit for COVID.
I'll wear a COVID wetsuit. I come bearing gifts of McCann's Irish oatmeal.
And scuba gear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's kind of where we're at.
I'll pick up all the rings at the bottom of the pool for you guys.
But Clay, I said to my daughter, like, maybe we will go on vacation. You know, like, maybe we'll go somewhere.
I got a secret place you can go.
I'm thinking about renting a cabin in like the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
I have a secret spot.
Where is it?
Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Yes.
What's there?
The Smoky Mountains.
Ooh, interesting.
Yes.
And where do you stay? Do you rent a cabin?
You stay in the mountains.
Okay.
And you have beautiful views. It's a drivable. It's like, you know, 6-7 hours.
Perfect.
Like that.
Yeah.
And it's you know, it's easy.
I think the state parks are going to be flooded with lots of people vacationing and trying to go to those places this summer. Just due to because of all the travel restrictions due to COVID, and I know that you know, my brother-in-law he canceled his wedding. They're not doing it.
Wow.
So
are they doing a virtual?
They're actually going to go ahead with their nuptials and just have the wedding ceremony a year later.
Robotically?
sure. Robot wedding?
Have two robots play us.
You lost me. I'm completely perplexed.
Cooper should have a robot play him and his fiance have another robot and they can just have a robot wedding.
Interesting. I'll propose that.
Yeah.
Hey, I know COVID's crazy. Robot wedding makes a lot of sense now. You know? Now that we can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Oh, it's the guy at 7-Eleven again. Yes, Bill.
Nothing.
You're looking.
I got nothing. I'm just looking, waiting at you to say something.
You have your shirt, your Army shirt on again tonight.
Yeah, you're in the airborne division,
weren't you? I've been putting some weight on.
101st, was
it? And I'm trying to lose the weight. I went on a bike ride today for the first time in quite a while.
Did you do a wheelie?
No wheelies.
Did you hit the curbs at all?
No curbs. It was
no, I mean like ride the curbs.
No. Successful missions all the way around.
Your feet get stuck in the spots.
But I've been buying these dry fit shirts because I'm getting heavier.
Is that Army shirt a dry fit?
No. And I got to do the laundry.
It's cotton?
It's cotton, but it's like I got a little chunko over this COVID. I don't know if it's my age catching up with me. I've been eating better as of lately. But
metabolism slowing down?
Might be. I need to exercise like a crazy man now, I think, to get back to that fighting weight.
Bruce Willis weight?
And my T-shirts. Like 2 years ago, I lost, you know, 35 pounds, and I bought like all new T-shirts and everything, and now they don't fit anymore.
You gave them all the goodwill.
And
look where you are.
All my fat guy T-shirts, I got a few of them left. You know, I probably got about 7 of those.
All you have left is your drill sergeant shirt.
Right.
It is a drill sergeant shirt.
Yeah, I have that. But, yeah, I kind of wear it, you know. Hey, People may think I'm a drill sergeant. They'll stay away from me.
You know, you gotta. Have you seen this these videos of Mike Tyson and how good a shape he's in now?
I have, Clay.
He lost like 60 pounds or something.
Yeah, Sports Illustrated let something loose on him. Like a video went viral with him sparring with a partner. And what was that, in L.A. somewhere?
Yeah, he's probably training for like a charity match. That's it. But he got in. He went crazy and he got in the best shape. He's like, I'm in the best shape I've ever been in. At 53 years old.
Is he going to come back like George Foreman and get a title shot? And
I don't know.
Would Tyson Fury fight Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he would, too.
Tyson Fury's father has already reached out to Tyson and be like, I'll fight you tomorrow in a park somewhere in Belfast. In Manchester. Tyson kind of, he's like, I got that fire back. Like, you know, like the gods of war are back in my brain. He's got some damage to do.
Tyson wants to take some people out.
Huh? I mean, what a great time it is that we've lived through. Guns N' Roses got back together. Tyson's coming back. The Bulls are popular again.
Sure.
It's bizarre. You know,
Bret Michaels is coming over for dinner tomorrow night.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Bret Michaels is coming over for dinner?
Oh, did I say Bret Michaels? I meant George Michael. Sports machine.
Baseball, we don't know. We're thinking maybe a 50-game season. That's up in the air. Apparently the NHL is going to come back for a little bit. I think. I don't know.
Audienceless?
There's going to be playing in, like, there's certain amount of cities they're only going to play in where all the teams will be kind of hubbed in those cities.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll almost be kind of like round-robin tournaments before they can decide who can get into the playoffs. And then
what's
be
the baseball thing? Everyone plays?
Baseball will be a 50-game season starting sometime in July if it's accepted.
They play all the games and...
They'll play all the games and then there'll be playoffs.
In one park?
Yeah, how's that going to work?
I haven't heard about what the travel thing is going to be, whether or not. I would imagine it'll probably be somewhat like how they do spring training, where they group the teams in one division based on geographical location.
Yeah, I had read that.
So like there will be no Americaner.
Yeah. Is Kevin Costner involved in any decision making?
Not yet. Not yet.
He should be.
Yeah. The players' union, I heard, was going to reach out to him.
To
Costner and see what he thinks.
Commissioner Costner?
Yeah.
He's petting a horse right now.
But that's about it. You know, football, I guess, you know, we'll see what happens with that.
What are the odds that Kevin Costner's petting a horse right now?
Well, Clay, you're touching back on one of the archives.
It's 2 hours
of our show.
It's 8:40 in LA.
Horses, water, baseball, Costner was one of the things we discussed on a past episode, I believe.
Yeah.
Dad, William Costner?
That's right. His father's name is William Costner. Yes.
Thank you, Mike.
Celebrity dad, Bill Costner.
Kevin Costner.
Billy Costner once told me his kid was going to be in a baseball movie. And you know what?
Several baseball movies.
And a golf movie.
Kevin, you know enough with the baseball and the water and this nonsense. Go to your room.
Baseball, water, horses, Costner.
Kevin, go to your room with the horses and the baseball. I'm sick of it. Yes, Bill.
Well, if you're having trouble during these times, you know, bases, horses, baseball, horses, and water sounds pretty good.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah.
All right. I brought that up because it does reference an older episode, and you can find archived episodes of the Hoolies Hooli if you go to hibernianradio.org.
Correct.
Or you can go to iTunes and search for us there at Hooli's Hooli Show.
Do that as well.
This show is presented to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal and personal injury attorney in Chicago, Jim McGing. Give him a call.
Yes.
It is kind of a cruel summer.
Yep.
Until next week.
Bye.
Bye.